Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. Visit AppalachianCRE.com.
It may say April on the calendar now, but it feels like straight up winter here in the high country this week. Hello again, everybody. Welcome into another installment of the Mind Your Business podcast series, a presentation of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. I am David Jackson, President and CEO of the Chamber. Great to have you along with us for the show. Once again, thanks for the continued downloads and subscriptions. You can find Mind Your Business wherever you get your podcasts. We just celebrated download number 3,500. This week. So thank you very much for all of you that have continued to tune in and join us each week as we talk about important things related to the high country business scene. And we have got a great show for you in that regard this week. But as we mentioned, just turning into April, a lot of positive news going on as it relates to COVID here in the county. Watauga County, one of the first counties in the state to move into the group five of vaccine deployment. That means that anybody and everybody that's eligible age-wise can go to their provider of choice's website, sign up for a time slot, and that means that we can get vaccine in arms just that much faster, that much easier here in the high country. So certainly something that we are celebrating up here as we again, return to this bone-chilling cold. The wind you may hear through the microphone is blowing about 25 miles an hour outside. Wind chill of 20 here on April 1st as we record this. So those of you that didn't get a chance to experience a high country winter, come on up today or tomorrow. You can still get that if you'd like to. So anyway, focus of our program this week is on our State of the Community series, which we held on Wednesday of this past week. Thanks to our partners at Blue Ridge Energy for helping put that on for us. This is the first of a four-part series that will be rolling out over the course of the next several months, where we will take a look at key community conversations and make sure that we're just bringing some of those topics back to the radar again as we move through this kind of COVID backside, if you will, hopefully. You know, there are a number of things that were on the radar prior to COVID that have just been somewhat shifted to the back burner. So we want to bring some of those key community conversations, whether it's about local government, which was the focus of our first one, whether it's about education operations, which we'll get into later this summer, infrastructure development, something that's key not only in thinking about broadband, but some of the other, I'll call it more community-wide assets and how they plug and play into growing communities like we see here in the high country. And then, of course, tourism is always an area that we'll focus. So from now till the beginning of November, we'll be addressing some of those things periodically throughout that time. And as I mentioned, we got into local government operations at first. And that gave us an opportunity to circle up with County Manager Darren Giok here in Watauga County, the town managers of Blowing Rock and Boone, Shane Fox and John Ward, respectively, and then Jennifer Green, the Director of Public Health with App Healthcare. And we wanted to talk to each of those folks about projects, different infrastructure ideas, and things that are coming back to the forefront now, especially in a state that is infusing money to local governments and municipalities to work on things infrastructure-wise that could have a COVID tie to them. So with that infusion of money comes opportunity to talk about projects again. And while the projects that we'll talk about in this particular episode are not the only things on the radar, they are certainly things that play well into making sure that our communities are moving along as positively as possible, thinking about the short term, getting back what we may have lost in terms of progress with our shift to COVID, but then also thinking long term as well. And a couple of those really will play into decades worth of time down the road and how our communities will respond and operate. So I want to start things off first. We're going to bring you some comments, some sections of each of these interviews that we were able to put together. So the first one's going to be Darren Giok. He is the county manager of Watauga County, and certainly the county is very excited that later this month, the brand new Watauga County Recreation Facility will be open. And that facility opening just brings up a whole host of opportunities now for a community that is trying to remain healthy and stay healthy. This facility will certainly play into that very well. So a couple of minutes with Darren Giok, county manager here in Watauga County.
Thanks for having us here today, and thanks for putting this together. It's a real good opportunity for the citizens to find out what's going on in Watauga County. And as you all know, the rec center is finally getting ready to open up, so we're very excited about that. There will be a ribbon cutting April 23rd, and that will be basically by invitation only just because of COVID restrictions. But if you wait 3 days, you'll be able to actually come to the center and actually enjoy the center. So we're excited for that to happen. The county is currently hiring lifeguards, front desk positions, and personal trainers. So we're going to personally ask David to kind of reprise his role as the Baywatch lifeguard. And so we're looking forward to him coming to the rec center. So, you know, again, there's an opportunity for people to see Dave, David there being a lifeguard at the pool.
We want subscriptions, not turn subscriptions away. Okay.
Well, and we're excited too, because as you know, many people, their first experience that they had with the rec center was basically getting their vaccine there. So we, you know, the county commissioners are very proud and very excited that the rec center was able to fulfill that role and to be truly what the rec center was designed and what the commissioners wanted to be, was a community facility, not just for recreation, but also to serve the community as a whole. So again, being able to provide the clinics there has been an awesome experience. And many people have asked us, you know, when the rec center opens, will the clinics continue? And the commissioners have said yes. The clinics will continue as long as they're needed. I think Jen Green will probably give you a little bit more update on that. But again, the county commissioners want to balance, you know, recreation versus the overall health of our community. So again, those clinics will continue until they're no longer needed. So we're excited about that. And again, we encourage people to come by. You know, the rec center will provide state-of-the-art fitness equipment, has an awesome walking track, has pickleball courts, tennis ball, basketball courts, volleyball courts. So again, you also have a 25 meter lap pool. There's a climbing wall in there. There's also a leisure pool. So again, there's two slides in there. And then there's also kind of a play area for the young children. So again, we're really excited with the opportunities that it's going to afford. And, not only is it going to provide indoor recreation, but there's also going to be outdoor recreation. I know many people, when they're probably coming to the new rec center and they park to get their vaccine or actually coming in to get their memberships, are probably wanting to know what's going on outside. And if you can see, there's construction going outside, and that construction will be for four tennis courts, one basketball court, and two pickleball courts, and then also two shelter areas. So again, we're really excited about being, you know, basically being able to provide indoor and outdoor recreation. So it's going to be a wonderful opportunity, and we encourage everyone. Memberships are available now. So again, you can go online to get those memberships, or you can actually stop by the office at 231 Complex Drive, and Stephen Poulos and his staff will be more than glad to assist in getting those memberships.
An impressive facility for sure, and built right in the middle of the infrastructure that is the Greenway system, existing fields. We saw the versatility of this facility just Friday with all of the Watauga County school teachers coming to get their second vaccination, and just how such a large building can handle a large volume of people. So that's been particularly impressive to see. Speaking of property and how you can best take advantage of the available space that you have, one of the things that the county does on a routine basis is value property around the county. What can you tell us about that process coming up here in 2022?
Sure. So the county staff, the tax department, has been working since about 2020 on our reevaluation process. And North Carolina law requires every 8 years that the counties reevaluate property. You can do it, some can do it sooner, but again, right now we're on the 8 year cycle due to the last recession that we had. So again, the last appraisal we had was 2014. So again, 2022 will be the new valuation that we have. There's over 46,000 parcels of property that staff will have to go out and actually review. They'll actually take photos of the property and then also ensure that there's no changes or anything made to those properties. So it's a long process, but again, it's a good process, it's a fair process. But again, that will be happening. It's been happening. So again, if you see an individual at your property maybe wandering around with potentially a camera or a laptop, Take some ease. It could be a county appraiser, but again, they will have a badge. They'll have a permanent tag on their vehicle. And then also, if you have any questions, they can call 828-265-8000. 8021. That's the tax office. So again, if they have any concerns about anybody being out there, but again, just to make people aware that they will be out there in the area conducting the appraisals.
Thanks to Darren for his time. And again, thanks to those of you that were able to watch his full conversation. A lot of really exciting things going on in Watauga County, certainly our county commissioners keeping the foot on the gas in terms of the development of the Valley Cruces school site. We heard also about some projects at the landfill that will make that facility a little bit more user-friendly. So lots going on there. As we shift our attention to Blowing Rock now, and we'll kind of keep on that health and wellness theme a little bit there too. Shane Fox, the town manager, detailing some things that we know are major infrastructure projects to keep one of the more walkable communities that we have in all of Western North Carolina even more so accessible to people that want to get out on foot and enjoy all the things about Blowing Rock that visitors have for years and years.
So the Bass Lake Sidewalk Project, probably, we'll say 7 years in the making, so it's been talked about for a number of years. A few years back, we were awarded an EFLAP grant, which is a grant that ties the federal lands to the local lands, so the town essentially to the Blue Ridge Parkway, and we were able to finally break ground a few weeks back as the weather was permitting, and that project's moving along. So that's a project that will go from Main Street at the intersection of 221 and Main Street all the way out to Bass Lake. So that provides a brand new sidewalk, curb, gutter, stormwater, detention, et cetera, a number of things along the way, a couple retaining walls, walkways, et cetera, out there. But that's going to be a huge asset for our folks. Our locals, I have a tremendous amount of folks within the town that obviously move there to be able to get outside, especially in the right time of year and walk and enjoy the outside. And of course, the tourism itself, the tourists that come just to either, go to the parkway or go to the town. This connects the two. And so we all believe this will be an absolutely huge project once complete. Plan on that probably being sometime this summer. We hope around the July timeframe, hopefully sooner with weather permitting. But that'll be a huge asset for us to have that project complete. That'll give folks the access from downtown, anywhere within the downtown area, to connect out to Bass Lake. For Bass Lake, obviously, there's miles worth of trails and connectability to the parkway to get out. So that'll be perfect.
Well, and one of the exciting things about that, too, right before the pandemic, we were over in Blowing Rock celebrating the installation of the trailhead for the Middle Fork Greenway.
That's right.
And to think about being able to move from the Watauga County Recreation Center in a very pedestrian-friendly way to do so, all the way to Bass Lake through sidewalks and the greenway as it That's is right. eventually constructed, that is certainly something that will add to this area's abilities to get folks outside and get them moving around well. So
certainly.
That's awfully exciting to hear. Within that, so much traffic downtown, mm-hmm. is especially within this tourism-enriched pandemic period that we have been in, we have seen the need for safety measures in all of our communities there as well, to make sure that people in the larger crowds and especially spaced out as they have to be, are able to move around in a safe manner. So you've got some upgrades coming to crosswalks in the Blowing Rock area. What are you aiming to help alleviate with that piece of infrastructure included?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned earlier, we've been a pedestrian friendly town for a number of years. We've only seen that increase during the pandemic. And obviously with the bringing of the Bass Lake Sidewalk project, kind of starting at that 221 intersection of Main Street and 221, along with the intersection at Sunset and Main Street, and then down at Chestnut, which is the Brom area. If you're kind of walking down Main Street from 221 to the Brom area, County Council approved this fall three new crosswalks at those three intersections. These will be formalized, digitalized crosswalks, so the push-button type thing. The one at Sunset and Main, which is our main intersection, we're actually going to add a second crosswalk there that'll be on the north side of the intersection. So we'll have two crosswalks walks there. Both will be digitalized. Both will have pedestrian-friendly access, medians and islands and things of that nature that will be put into place. So that doesn't exist right now on Main Street. So we're looking at adding, essentially three crosswalks, formalized crosswalks that don't currently exist in the signalized fashion. The one at Chestnut will not be signalized because there's not a traffic light there, but it will be a formalized crosswalk with the island-type mechanism where folks will be able to have the shorter access to get across from one side to the other. But as we look forward to, obviously having what we feel like is going to be more folks in town that we're encouraging to walk, and especially as the parkway becomes available through the project, we're hoping that folks are obviously being able to walk up and down the sidewalks and utilizing our crosswalks in a safe manner. And so this project will be huge in gaining that access.
So now shifting over to yet another municipality, the town of Boone has a number of projects going on. John Ward was able to detail out as part of this conversation what is new with the Howard Street plan and how that development project is working, and just a number of other smaller projects that
will again keep Boone moving in a positive direction. One of those has to deal with sustainability. And as a new project that is being developed, the Bolick Farm property, where all of the town's municipal services will soon be relocated, developing with sustainability in mind has been something that's been on the town of Boone's radar for quite some time. And John gives us an update on that and a few other things related to the town of Boone operation moving forward.
Definitely. I think that productivity is key in all of those elements. And I think that as staff, we've learned new and more efficient ways to provide services as well as get our work done. But on the bigger sustainability side of things, while all of this has been going on, we've been working on a project to replace all of our streetlights, over 1,400 of those, from traditional lamps to LED bulbs. We've done that through the cost savings, because each light we replace, we move from about $12 a month to $3 a month in expenditures. So we've used that cost savings to implement that, and we're now about 50% replacement with our own staff doing that replacement. So we've seen some success there. On the Bolick Farm property, we are working on a concept of merging public works, planning, police, and our fourth fire station onto one municipal campus. And the goal there is to be a sustainable campus that can serve as an example for the region. And we're well on our way of the design of that campus. One of the most recent things that we've done is we've placed a 30-acre conservation easement on the property and plan on working with North Carolina Forest Service to reforest the bottom lands where the dairy cows once grazed, where development cannot happen. But that will also include trails and a connection to the greenway system. There's about $2 million worth of stream restoration occurring on that campus as well, in partnership with the New River Conservancy. And it will be one of the first municipal campuses that are adjacent to hatchery-supported trout waters in the state. So that tie to that sustainable feature will be very, very important. But we have many more goals. We're implementing hybrid and electric vehicles throughout our vehicle fleet. And we've just hired a sustainability and special projects manager to really help coordinate with all the departments to help make that a success story.
You know, I know that along those lines, one of the more talked about projects that I know has some runway still to get fully implemented the way you want to, but stormwater runoff continues to be a subject that a number of people talk about. As you bring in a sustainability coordinator, as you do some of these things, what are your eventual goals to see Boone be able to handle that stormwater in a more efficient way and also provide, I'm sure, more opportunities through that management to enhance economic development opportunities as well?
Sure. Anytime any of our commercial areas flood, that's a negative for the commercial operation, obviously. So what we're doing is really exploring success stories and how to implement those. Obviously, natural treatment is the best way to treat stormwater. One of those success stories can be seen behind the Standard development, where the stream was removed from culverted pipes and allowed to be opened up. And anytime we have flooding, that additional volume, the natural flow of that area seems to be able to contain that and to deal with that stormwater issue much better. We're using that same concept to partner with Appalachian State University on Boone Creek, right in the middle of downtown, to where we will move the Rayleigh lot from a surface parking lot into a deck that provides parking for both campus and our downtown commercial district, and then allows that entire area to return to its natural state so that we can remove those culverted pipes and remove much of that flooding issue in that area.
And last but not least, joining us here, Jennifer Green, a longtime friend of the program, a director of public health with App Healthcare. And we wanted to talk with Jen, and we were able to talk with Jen about some of the COVID news of the day. But we wanted to shift our focus for the majority of this conversation about things that are on the public health radar that because now we are more aware of the role that public health plays in a community, these are some of the projects that App Healthcare feels that are important and hopes to have more engagement with the community in as we move forward beyond the pandemic times.
Well, a lot of folks don't know, but one of the things that we've been doing for some time now is really an evaluation of what our big health challenges are in our community. We do that every few years. It's called a community health needs assessment. We will be publishing some data from that later this year. And, you know, part of that is not just the information, but it's about how do we all want to come together to address those challenges. So things that we were talking about before the pandemic are exciting things like we heard about today. You know, active transportation. How can we have people moving about more? How can we address other concerns like suicide prevention and food insecurity and poverty and housing? All of those things that we know really influence the broader public health story. And I think that's what I'm excited about, to be able to work more on and not just COVID full time all the time.
That's right. Bringing new vocabulary back into the workplace in this particular category. You know, one of the things that our community has become known for, the whole concept of the Watauga County Compassionate Communities Initiative and thinking about trauma-informed communities and the strength in that and folks understanding how their employees are impacted. I think one of the things I remember Denise Presnell said very early on in this work was that, you know, you just don't know where people go and what their experiences are. After 5 o'clock, when they clock out, they come back Monday morning and you have no idea what they've been through. So the health department has been one of the major players in having a community dialogue around what being trauma informed looks like. What can you tell us about further progress in those conversations, not only with WCCI, but with other opportunities that App Healthcare has been brought into to further this work and further this education throughout our community?
Well, we're excited to be one of four communities that's part of this Building Resilience. It's a resilience catalyst program that's part of the National Association of City and County Health Officials. And that's really because of the great work that has been done by other partners like WCCI and, you know, the partnerships that we have with so many sectors here. Because we know there's policies and systems that can help us address these bigger issues that are affecting a lot of us. And I think adverse childhood experiences is a big part of what we need to really understand, that trauma from years ago can affect where we are now. And also, you know, some of the social determinants of health that we know are so important to our health status in general. You know, having those basic needs met and making sure that people are able to meet those needs, like food insecurity. I mean, those are so so prominent. And I was so grateful last year that we saw Watauga County Schools really step up and change their operations and make sure that children weren't without food. And that's just another example of, you know, think about that being such a critical element to making sure people don't go hungry. And I think that's what we're going to be digging into more.
Again, thank you to Blue Ridge Energy for helping us make this State of the Community event possible. Just some really good dialogue and better understanding about where we're going as a community. Hopefully you were able to find that informative. If you were if you watched the program live, remember you still have access to the full archive of that. This was about an hour and a half conversation that we had back on Wednesday. So again, our education conversation comes up at the end of June. We'll have Dr. Scott Elliott from Watauga County Schools, Dr. Lee King, who is the president of Lee's McRae, Dr. Heather Norris, the provost at Appalachian State, and as well as a representative from Caldwell Community College and Technical Institute, not only talking about what's on the education horizon and how some of those long-term strategies and goals work to provide better access to education and things along those lines. We're going to talk some operations there too, because as we know, this community educates a lot of folks, and getting back into a fall operational schedule that might look a little bit more like things used to, it'll be important for us to understand just how things will operate and how we can understand how our education partners are bringing some of those services back to their respective campuses. So that conversation coming up in June. Check BooneChamber.com for more details on that. This will bring us to an end of another installment of the Mind Your Business podcast series. Again, thank you for the downloads. Thank you for joining us. We will talk to you again soon. Stay warm out there until the weekend, where it starts to feel like spring out there again for us. Thanks a lot for listening.